Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Full Draw Friday number 59. Coming at you a little late this week, but that's all right. Still got some good stuff before we get into the weekend. As we get ever closer to the season, we got like 3 more weeks here in Illinois, and then it'll be opening day, and we'll be after them. I know Kentucky's opening up here really soon, maybe this weekend, and then Missouri opens on the 15th of this month, so some of you guys are going to be hunting 2-3 weeks before we are, but I'm just happy it's that time of the year. So like I said, on this one, I'm going to talk a little bit about some trail camera stuff. I think that'll be good. What to do with them this time of year, how to use that information, all that kind of stuff. Hopefully you guys went back and listened to the Thin Blue Line Outdoors podcast, their episode that we did with them on Wednesday. That was what I pulled our Monday episode from this week, so hopefully you went and listened to the full thing. I think it was a good conversation with Cody over there. If you haven't, go check that out and then come back and listen to this one. But if you have, let's get into it. All right, this one's going to be pretty short and sweet, but I think it's still going to be some good info that we can pack in here pretty quickly. Like I said in the intro, we're going to talk about trail cameras. I've actually talked to a lot of guys recently about those, where to place them, things like that when it comes to summertime bucks. And although we're getting close to the end of summer and into early fall now, we're still seeing bucks on those summer patterns. Some of them are starting to shed velvet. We've got several guys been showing me some pictures of some that have their velvet shed already, but a lot of bucks still have it on too. So that's going to make a difference in some of this. But the first one, the biggest question is usually, where do we put our cameras this time of year to get the best pictures? And it can be a few different places. One thing I'll say right off is something that works all year long pretty much, especially if it's in the right location, like intersecting trails, something like that, is a mock scrape. You can use those literally 365 days a year, and you're going to get pictures on them if it's the right scrape. So we're not just talking about the scrapes that are out there on field edges where a buck in the fall just gets antsy one day and goes and makes 3 or 4 scrapes. These are the ones, the community scrapes you've probably heard about, you've read about, that are usually in the timber, if not maybe like an inside corner or something. And I'm going to talk about those a little bit too. But it's a bigger scrape where a lot of deer are passing through that area and they're stopping and they're scent checking that. And almost every deer that comes through there is going to check that looking branch. If you got a good looking branch hanging down, something in their face, it can be, if you like using rope, use rope. If you want to just break a limb, if there's already one there, that's great. You can tie some limbs or a vine off with a rope to a limb that's hanging up higher. Just something that gets it down into their face so they see it when they walk through there. And you can create your own community scrape, really, with these mock scrapes. You can set that up where some trails come together or on a main trail leading from food or to food and get you some scent if you like. If you don't, you can really just take a leak in the scrape, and that'll work to get things started. I always like to use, once I start mixing the stuff in the fall, not just because I make it and I sell it, but I actually started doing this before that because I like using it so much. I like using the scents that we make for my mock scrapes because I do feel like it gets them going a little bit faster. And that scent, I think, hangs around a little bit longer and it piques the curiosity just a little bit more. So there are advantages to using a good deer scent, I think, but you don't think you have to have it to start a mock scrape either. But those are always going to be places all year long where it's going to be good to get pictures, especially as we move into October, and especially late October. That's when you're going to get a really good inventory on a lot of your bucks that are using your farm if you got a good mock scrape on a trail. But that's not to say it's not valuable this time of year as well, because it definitely is. You're still going to get a lot of deer using that scrape. Anything that goes through there, pretty much, if you can get one to start it, the next one's going to smell them and they're going to hit it and so on and so forth. You're going to get a lot of pictures over a good mock scrape even this time of year. Another place that I kind of already mentioned was an inside corner, and that is find out where they're feeding. So a lot of times this time of year, it's bean fields. They're on those green soybean fields throughout the Midwest. That's where they're coming out to feed in the evenings. If you have an inside corner or maybe a low spot that's coming down into the timber or something where it's kind of funneling them in and out of that field, you can throw up a camera right there. You're going to get a ton of good pictures as long as there's deer coming out and feeding in that field. It's also an advantage if it's on like the west side, so it's getting the shade first in the evenings. That's most likely if they have their choice, they're going to come out there. If they're going to come out early, they're probably going to do it on the shady side of the field when it's hot like this. So if it's on the west end or southwest corner or something like that, that's all the better to set your camera up on that side. Bean fields are so good. We all know getting out there and doing your summer scouting and stuff and sitting in the truck with a spotting scope or some binoculars or sitting out. Maybe you're sitting in a cornfield or in a fence row or something watching beans. They're obviously there, so you can get pictures of them using those same principles as your summer scouting. You just have to kind of find a general area where they're entering and exiting the field so that you can get those pictures. And again, a lot of times it's going to be on the shady side. If it's a low spot that kind of rolls down into the timber, or those inside corners are always great. And that's just the corner where the timber comes together on the backside of that field or something. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. Another general kind of area to look for is anything that's really open. So like the big mature timber that doesn't have a lot of vegetation down low, it's not great for hunting necessarily. It could be a decent transition area if like there's some oaks in there or something, if you wanted to set up on that, especially if it backs up to a destination field on one side and bedding to the other. But in general, it's not really what you're looking for when it comes to good quality habitat for deer in the fall. But they are going to want to be there in the summertime. And still, same thing if it backs up to their summer bedding, where it's a place where they can get some airflow and not just big, thick, nasty stuff like they're going to get bed in the fall. If you can find those open areas and find a trail, or at least a general direction, a general area where they're moving from their bed to the food, you can set your camera up on those trails in those areas, and you're going to have a lot of success with that as well. So those are kind of the three main areas. Water is another good one. I know that gets brought up a lot. If you have especially a smaller pond or watering hole or something, you can have some success on that. But it can be tough on bigger water sources or even creeks, just knowing where exactly they're going to come hit the water. So a smaller source could be a really good spot. You can just set it up over that pond. You're going to get a lot of pictures of a lot of things coming to that water. So that's interesting as well. But it can be a good place for the deer too, no doubt. But the other three that I mentioned are kind of the biggest three that we do. The mock scrapes, the inside corners, and low spots or entry exit points into a bean field overlooking the bean field, which you can combine the two also. You can put a mock scrape or a scrape tree out in the right. If you've got a filter strip or something or grass between the edge of the woods and the bean field, you can put a scrape tree in there, and that'll combine those two for you. Or again, those open areas where the deer are moving throughout, kind of hanging out before they go out to feed at night. Those are all good places to put your cameras for pictures this time of year. Now, one thing you're going to notice, I said earlier, these deer are starting to shed. Their testosterone's starting to slowly build. So they're going to be changing their patterns. It might be a little different this year with the late crops that we've got, because a lot of it has to do with food also. But these spots aren't necessarily going to be great the whole year. The entry and exit points into the field might be good as long as the beans are still green. Once they turn yellow, They're probably going to go cold. Those big open areas, again, unless it just sets up perfect between a destination field and a bedding area, those are probably going to go cold on your cameras too. So pay attention when your cameras, you start getting less, fewer and fewer pictures, then maybe it's time to go in there and move them around a little bit. There are some cameras I will go set up not expecting to get pictures this time of year just so I don't have to go in and move them already. But I'll have them set up already just so I don't have to go in and move them when that shift happens. That way they're just there and I don't have to go add any scent or any intrusion or anything like that. But if you do want to put them in these summer spots, just know that at some point there's a good chance you're going to get less activity on there. And that's when you go in and move them to those fall spots, which we'll probably talk about on a future episode. But again, the mock scrape's a great one. That kind of kills two birds with one stone. You can go set it. You can get summer pictures and just leave it and get fall pictures all the way up into the rut. That's kind of when that's going to start going cold. But at that point, you're out there hunting them anyway, hopefully, and trying to hunt some of the randomness that is the rut. But those are those mock scrapes, again, they're good. They're good for all season. But when that shift does happen, other places you're going to look at the thicker bedding, trails leading into that, trails leading out of that. Green food sources, once the beans start to turn yellow, those are going to be places where you can put those cameras. So your food plots, clover fields, brassica plots, maybe it's a wheat field, something like that. Those are all places where you can shift those. But like I said, I might dive deeper into the fall trail camera strategy sometime in the future. A big question around running trail cameras throughout the summer, and it's one reason that I don't necessarily do it. I just put some of mine up here about a week ago. It's one reason I don't do it a lot throughout the summer is knowing whether or not the info you're getting right now is useful when it comes to the hunting season. And I think the right answer to that is probably yes or no. Yeah, or yes and no. Somewhere in between, right? Like it's not dead set one or the other. Probably falls somewhere in the middle. So if your goal is to just see what bucks are out there, then it's great information. You can get some really good pictures of a lot of deer this time of year. If your goal is to find out what deer you're going to be able to hunt in that location for the fall, probably not the best time to get that information just because that shift is going to happen at some point. Those same bucks might not be there. That's the way it is on a lot of the properties that I hunt. The bucks that I'm hunting in the fall are not necessarily there in the summer. Maybe one of them, if I'm lucky, two of them. But most of the time, I just don't see the same bucks in the fall that are there in the summer. It's not their same patterns, not their same core area when that shift does come. So another, you know, if you're just looking to get pictures, I mean, because that's half the fun around trail cameras is just seeing the pictures and stuff. So is it useful for that? Absolutely. Just like I said, if you're just wanting to know what bucks are maybe around at some point, then yeah, it can be useful. If you're just wanting pictures, then yeah, great. It's useful. If you're in an area where you do have some good summer habitat close to some fall habitat where their core area might not shift that much, then definitely it could be useful to get that info right now. You're going to know that based on your experience hunting those properties. And if this is your first year running cameras, then you're going to find that outcome this fall and next year, whether or not the information you're getting right now is all that useful. Another situation may be where you get a picture of a buck in the summer, you never see him again until the rut. Maybe especially like second week of November, somewhere in there. You will see sometimes bucks will go back to their summer area if they know their does there on these excursions that they make during the rut, going and checking, looking for new doe. So it might be a situation where you get some pictures of a deer in the summer, you don't see him all October, you don't see him part of November, and then he just shows up. And if that happens, if you get a random buck that shows up in November and you were running cameras in the summer, go back and check him. You might have a picture of him from Velvet back when he was spending his time on that property through June, July, August, something like that. So is it useful? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, it just depends on what your goals are and, again, what your setup is like. So, I do think it's still good to run them, though, because it kind of keeps you interested. You can, if you're getting pictures of good bucks, you're going to get excited about getting out there and hunting, whether or not you're going to be hunting those bucks. And, again, half the fun of running cameras is getting pictures. I think that's one thing that I enjoy as much as getting out to hunt. Maybe not as much as getting out to hunt. Definitely not as much as shooting the buck. But one thing is really enjoyable for me is getting those updates, especially now with the cell cameras, or even just going and pulling a card, the anticipation of seeing what you got on it, and going through those pictures and being able to see bucks, see if you got them from the year prior, see if you've got them, if they're new bucks showing up, you can pick names for them, all that kind of stuff is really fun about running trail cameras. And another reason it might be good to do is just to get inventory for next year. Some of these bucks their patterns will change as they get older. So if he's 4.5 somewhere in one place and he's going another place in the fall, as he gets 5.5, 6.5, he might wait 2 weeks longer to move to that fall shift. Now, if you were getting pictures of him when he was 2 and 3 at, you know, September 15th, 16th, somewhere in there, now he's killable for the first week of October. So it can be valuable for that too. But just keep all that stuff in mind, guys, when you're going to set up your trail cameras right now, or if you already have them up. If they've already gone cold, maybe look at moving them. If you're getting pictures, just take it with a grain of salt for what it's worth based on what you know about your property, what you know about your deer herd, and all that stuff. But hopefully that helps answer some questions. I've talked to several guys just kind of wondering about where we get our best pictures, and hopefully that answers that. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. Make sure you tune in for Monday's episode. I think it's our biggest guest that we've had yet. We had a great conversation with him, some interesting conversation that I did not expect as well. I think it was really good. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So stay tuned for that. But again, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.